Weekend Breakfast.
Over the last few days and weeks, we have sadly been reading and reflecting on headlines that have been telling of powerful men, men who enjoy a profile, men who wield quite a lot of influence in the social sphere, unfortunately using their power, both in terms of social impact, but also physical power over women, and have gone on to abuse those women. The latest in South Africa is the accusation leveled by Jennifer Ferguson, who is a former member of parliament for the South African National Assembly, as well as an artist who no longer lives in South Africa, saying in 1997 she was assaulted in a hotel room in PE by Danny Yordan. Danny took a very long time before responding to those claims, and his response was, take me to a court of law, let's test the evidence that you will bring forward, and let's resolve the matter. And it's something that Jennifer Ferguson is thinking about. There have been other women, by the way, who've come out and said, I've also been attacked by Danny Yordan. So I thought, let's actually have a very important conversation this morning about how do you legally even pursue a case of this matter. And somebody to help us with that is a researcher based at Wits University and a woman who speaks very passionately on matters of this nature, Lisa Vetten. Lisa, it's been a while. Good morning and welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Yes, thank you very much. And good morning to your listeners.
It happened in 1997, I think, is the year when it happened. Jennifer Ferguson, I don't know this, but I assume would not have followed protocol, and I do use that term very loosely, of going to a doctor, for example, having evidence collected that she then would be able to use in a prosecutorial sort of process that she would have been able to bring against Danny Yordan. In the absence of all of that, what is the legal test that would need to be proven in a court of law in South Africa today in order to prove the guilt of Danny Yordan?
Well, there'd be a range of different things that the court would still take into account, even if you don't have any medico-legal evidence, for example. So there have been other cases that have gone to court where somebody reported the matter almost 20 years later, and they have succeeded. Also, similarly to Ferguson, when somebody did not go to the doctor afterwards. So these cases are not impossible. What the courts will be looking for will be things like the absence of consent, and the intention to do you harm. When you try to prove a case of rape, you not only do you look for the medico-legal evidence, the other thing that's also important is what's called the first witness report. So the court also puts a lot of weight or interest in what you said, the first person you told after being raped. So if there had been somebody... Hello?
I'm still here, Lisa.
Okay, sorry. So it's getting very quiet. So if there was somebody that you told, the first person you told after this happened, rape cases are unusual in that they do allow you to lead that evidence. So if there was somebody that she had told at the time, a friend or family member, then that person's evidence could be called and that they would be able to corroborate. But obviously, her testimony would be the most important, and how good she is as a witness and how well she stands up to cross-examination would obviously be very key.
There will be an element at some point of he said, she said, because it is very possible that Danny Yordan may in fact admit to a fact that there was a sexual relation between him and Jennifer Ferguson. And this is how he understood the unfolding of events to have followed on that particular day, which, you know, would be his version of what happened.
Yes, it would be. And I think that's always what makes rape cases so difficult. When they occur between people knowing each other, that they do often become he said, she said. And then it's a question of who might be more credible. And as I said, especially when there is no first witness report. But I must say, there is a case heard in about the middle of 2000, which involved a woman who had been 14 at the time when she went to stay with a friend. And the friend had very unkindly, I think it's putting it mildly, allowed three other boys into her room where they raped her friend. She never said anything at the time. She told a friend of hers the following day, and she never said anything for almost 20 years until she went to visit someone, heard a voice, and realized it was the adult man who had been a boy who raped at the time. And she had a very bad effect on her, and she went to go and report to the police. And That case resulted in a conviction which was upheld by the Supreme Court. I think in that case what had been important was one person she told at the time, but what the court put quite a lot of weight to was the psychological evidence that was led, how this had affected her. And also I think when she heard his voice, it really had extremely bad effects on her. That's when she started to see a psychologist. So expert testimony could be led about how her response was so consistent with somebody who had been deeply traumatized. So that is sometimes other evidence you could also bring, is that of a psychologist or other experts. You can talk about why women do delay, and you can talk a little bit about the psychological impact of rape, and whether or not, you know, somebody is suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder or has other effects that you would find as being consistent with having been raped. So it's not impossible. It is difficult, though, but it's not impossible.
With the fact that there are a number of other women who have come forward and said, I too was attacked by Danny Yordan, it may not be in a similar fashion, but certainly they were victims of sexual abuse at the hands of Danny Yordan, they are claiming. Will that help strengthen her case in a court of law?
Very much so. And here we can look again at the Bob Hewitt matter, where you also had a situation where women laid charges many years later. They'd also been young at the time, but there were a number of them. So that would certainly, I think, add weight and credibility to any charges and accusations against Danny Yordan.
So, and I certainly appreciate that you probably don't know all of the details. I'm not sure what relationship, if any, you have with Jennifer Ferguson. But if you were to advise her, how would you advise that she moves forward?
I would certainly also suggest that a lawyer have a good look at her case and see what her options are. I mean, she could look at a civil claim. It would be difficult because generally you're only allowed to bring a claim within 3 years of a harm being done. But who knows, depending on the facts of the matter, there might be some argument against prescription in this case. So, I mean, there is the possibility of a claim for damages. It would be different to a criminal claim. You know, in a criminal claim, the test is beyond reasonable doubt, whereas in a civil claim, it's on a balance of probability. So, I mean, I would look at those terms and see if there might be a possibility that she could still sue Danny or Don for damages. But if that's not possible, then it would be to look at the criminal matter. What is her evidence? What is the testimony of the other woman concerned? And on that basis, to make a decision. I mean, his response has been indeed wonderful. So, you know, it's not as if, as an outsider, there's no possibility that she has a case. I think what one also has to take into account is that in her blog, she wrote that Norman Orenser had approached the father of one of her children, asking if he'd be prepared to say, digging for some sort of background or dirt on her. And it appears that an attempt had been made to circulate a rumor that her one child was a result of one night stand. I mean, that's extremely unattractive behavior, which would again suggest, you know, that they're really trying to attack her on the basis of her reputation and her credibility rather than the fact of her case. You'd wonder why you would want to attack her reputation and credibility rather than the actual facts of this case.
Yeah. Lisa, thank you very much indeed for your time and your insights as always. Lisa Vetten is a researcher based at Wits University. It is an extremely difficult and it's a difficult case. It truly, truly is. And I do wish that Jennifer Ferguson and the women who have come forward do make a decision soon enough to pursue whatever legal avenues that they need to pursue so that this matter can be dealt with. Because at the moment, Danny Yordan has probably done the best legal response that he has, which is, let's take this matter to a court of law and let's have a court decide. And as we know, unfortunately, the success rate of successful convictions as far as rape is concerned are very, very low in South Africa for a whole host of reasons. And the fact that this happened 24 years ago is probably going to add to some of that challenge as well.